Welcome. Thank you for joining us here at ICGC Kairos Temple Podcast. Pastor Prince Nyako is the head pastor of ICGC Kairos Temple, serving under the leadership of Dr. Mensah Otabo. Pastor Prince is a dynamic preacher of God's unadulterated word, characterized with a strong prophetic insight and prayer ministry. He is a strong advocate for discipline and order in the body of Christ, with messages centered on fasting, holiness, prayer, and integrity. And now, to today's message.
I want to thank God for the opportunity for all of us to gather here to learn at the feet of Jesus Christ. And I want to thank your pastor. I want to thank him so much for his love and his support. He is a brother, and as he said, even a more than a brother. If there's a word we can use to describe that, then we would have used it. I always tell my people, the people I work with, that for me, I have few friends. I don't like friendship plenty. I'm mindful of who is my friend, and there are limited people around me. There are people I relate with, but people who are very close to me, they are very limited. And when it comes to the core friends I have only three core friends, and your pastor is one of them. Yeah, your pastor is one of them. Yeah, so that tells you the level of bonding that we have together as brothers. And we do everything. We talk about everything, whatever we need to talk. We are not shy of anything. We share our mind. Yeah, I remember those times on campus when he was trying to pursue your mother, your lady pastor. Sometimes you go and sit. So I remember those places we are sitting and we are scheming, we are planning what the next move and so on and so forth. Yeah, so we're bad boys in a way, but it was for a good cause. Amen. Yeah, but your pastor is a lovely man, a man full of passion, a man of excellence, a man of vision, and a man who is going somewhere. Praise the Lord. And that is why it's important for us to give him our support, stand with him, and give him our very best so that the work that God has put in his hand will continue to prosper. So thank you so much, Pastor Prince, for the opportunity to be part of this workers' meeting. I'm so grateful. God bless you. And you also have a very beautiful church. Amen. Let's put our hands together. You have a very beautiful church. I've been here a couple of times when the construction was going on. And this morning when he was taking me around, I said, wow, this is the doing of the Lord. And we appreciate God for that. Amen. And this morning, I also came with some of my leaders, because when I saw the opportunity for this meeting, I felt that it's an opportunity for us to learn. So I called them and I said that your holiday is canceled. I have authority over your holiday. You cannot enjoy your holiday. So let's come for this meeting. So I came with some of my leaders. I came with Jaden. Jaden is a developer, so it's into all manner of developing apps and so on and so forth. So that is Jaden. Then we have our brother Charles. Charles is an instrumentalist in our church. Then we have Dr. Martha. Dr. Martha is everything to me. She's everything around me. Yeah, so anything about me, when you contact her, she can give it to you. So that is Dr. Martha. So she's the head of our ushering department. She's also part of our music team. Then also, I have Solomon. Solomon is a deacon in our church also. Then he's more like becoming my PA, he's coming close to you, managing me. You know, sometimes you need people to manage you and put, otherwise, as far as we can go waywire. Yeah, we can just mess up, but there are people who put controls around us. So these are some leaders I brought to join us. Amen. So God bless you. And God bless you for also sacrificing your time and making the effort to be part of this wonderful workers training. I'm here to share some few things with you which I believe will enhance the work that we are doing. What I'm going to share with you are things that your pastor has already taught you through his various teachings, but I'm here to just re-echo them to you. If you hear it from another part, you see that what your pastor is saying is really the truth. It's not that he's looking for anything for himself. But as to the work of the ministry, there are things that sometimes when we are told, we don't value it till somebody else comes to tell us. So I'm just here to just re-echo the many things that your pastor has been sharing with you all over the years. And this morning he instructed me to teach on upholding the instructions and the orders of your pastor. Upholding the instructions and the orders of your pastor. Now, before I go deep into this discussion, I want to build it from somewhere and we'll get to our destination. You see, our work here as workers of Charis Temple ICGC must be seen as a great privilege and an opportunity. That is where it starts from. You must see the work as a great privilege and opportunity, because God could have used anybody to do what you are doing here today. Whether you are in the choir, whether you are in the technical department, whether you are in the protocol, whether you are in the children's ministry, wherever you find yourself, God could have just used anyone to do it. But for you to find yourself in there, you must see it as a privilege and you must see it as an opportunity. There's a favorite scripture of mine that guides me in my work in God's house, and that is Numbers chapter 16, verse 19. Numbers chapter 16, verse 19. I'll quote a lot of scriptures, so just pardon me. It's part of the work. Now, Numbers 16, verse 19, he said, "Is it a small thing to you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the work of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to serve them?" This is a very loaded scripture. He said, is it a small thing? Is it a small thing to find yourself in a choir? Is it a small thing to find yourself in the ushering department? Is it a small thing to find yourself doing what your pastor has mandated you to do? All of us, whatever we are doing, as our pastor said, we are just extensions of him. He cannot do everything. That is why he has appointed all of us that be in the choir, be here, so that you can help the work move forward. Because he's the one who is supposed to do it, but he can't do it all by himself. So the Bible said, "Is it a small thing to you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation?" All of us are separated from the congregation. That is why today it's not every church member who is here. It's just a few of us. Why? Because we've been separated to come close. And as we come close, the Bible said that we have come close not to play, not to idle about, but we have come close to work. Say, we have come close to work. Yeah, so the reason why we've been brought close is to work. That is why our pastor shared with us the work of the ministry. It's work. It's not for lazy people. It's a work that we have come to do. So he said that it to bring you to himself to do the work of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to serve them. So it's a great privilege to be brought close to work for God. And as you work for God, I see his blessings being made manifest in your life in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So that is the first understanding I want you to have, that the work you've been called to do is a privilege and a great opportunity. God says that if you don't praise me, the rocks will cry out. So it tells you that it's a privilege to praise God. Otherwise, God has alternative. God will cause something else to do that on his behalf. Now, when it comes to instruction, in my work as a pastor, I've been serving as an assistant pastor for so long a time. And in my work as a pastor, one of the things I've seen is people's adherence to instruction is problematic. Yeah, people have problems with instructions given them. They have all manner of things concerning instructions. But you see, the truth of the matter is that life is about instructions. Tell somebody, life is about instructions. Yeah, you can't make the most of life if you don't like instructions. Yeah, the phone you are using it, you cannot get the best out of the phone if you don't adhere to instructions from the manufacturer. The gadget and the product that you are using, if you don't adhere to the instructions of the manufacturer, you can't have the best of it. So life is about instructions. From Genesis, the first day man was created, instructions started. And we live with instructions till we die. And you see, the truth about instruction is that instructions are supposed to be obeyed and not to be debated. Instructions are supposed to be. The reason why God gives us instructions is to obey it, not to debate it. Sometimes in church, we try to debate the instructions that have been given. And sometimes over the funny side of the whole thing is that we feel that sometimes we are wiser than our pastors. Pastor, what you are telling me doesn't make sense. And you see, so the truth is that life is about instructions. And the other truth I also want to bring to our attention is that the God that we are serving, all of us we are serving, is a God of instructions. That is why you can't work for God if you hate instructions. If you cannot adhere to instructions, you can't work for God. And all of us want to work for God. All of us want to do something for God. That is why we must have value for instructions. When you look at Psalm 32 verse 8, say that I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. In Job 22 verse 21 to 22, he says that now acquaint yourself with him and be at peace. Thereby good will come to you. Verse 22, he said, receive, please, instructions from his mouth. Receive. So Job was saying, I beg you, if you want to live a better life, if you want to be effective and effectual as a church worker, please receive instructions. You must receive it. You must build capacity to receive instructions whichever way it comes to you. Because sometimes the instructions will not come in a pleasant way, but you must build capacity to receive it. It will come in a way that will bring discomfort, but you must build capacity to receive those instructions. Say that, receive please instructions from his mouth and lay up his word in your heart. In our service in church, the truth is that we'll be instructed in many ways and at all times. Yeah. So Sunday you come, pastor is instructing. Tuesday we come, pastor is instructing. At every point in time, pastor is instructing because it's very important and it's part of the work. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, it says that obey those who have rule over you. What should you obey them concerning? You have to obey their instructions. And the Bible says that you have to be submissive to them. Obey those who have rule over you and be submissive to them. Then it says that for they watch out for your soul as those who are supposed to give an account. Then he said that let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that will be unprofitable to you. So it tells you that our leaders, your shepherds, the people that God has put over you, you must learn to obey their instructions. So your pastor is someone whose instructions you must value. Your pastor's instructions are instructions that you must hold dear. Your pastor's instructions are instructions that you must obey from the depth of your heart. And I'll be showing you the many blessings that comes to you when you obey the instructions of your pastor. One time, Jesus' mother went for a wedding and Jesus was part in John chapter 2. Then when Mary got there, Mary told them something when they were confronted with a challenge. John chapter 2 verse 5. The mother said to the disciples or to the servant, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. It means that in obeying instructions, we must not be selective. Sometimes in our work in church, we become selective in which instructions to obey and which instructions not to obey. The one that is convenient for us, it's easy for us to obey. The ones that are difficult, they bring us out of our comfort zone. It becomes very difficult for us to obey. Now, when you go through scripture, you get to see examples of instructions that God gave to people and how it ended them. For instance, when you look at Adam, God instructed him to till the ground and not to eat of the forbidden fruit. When you look at Abraham, God wanted to change his life. He said, leave your father's house, leave your country, leave your father's house, leave your kindred to a land that I will show you. God gave him instruction to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. He said, go and sacrifice your son, whom you love, on this mountain. God instructed him. And he had to obey. God instructed Moses as to how he had to deliver the children of Israel from Egypt. God instructed Noah how to build the ark. God instructed David about many things. When you look at the ministry of Jesus, you see that Jesus instructed his disciples when he was about feeding the 5,000. He gave them instructions. Let them sit down, do this, do that, and so on and so forth. When he was about to raise Lazarus, he gave instructions. So you see that at every phase in our walk with God, we'll be faced with instructions. In every phase of our walk with our pastor, we'll be faced with instructions. And the truth is that you cannot become an excellent, effective, and a productive church worker without heeding to instructions. You cannot become a very effective church worker. You cannot become a productive church worker. And you cannot become an excellent church worker if you don't heed to instructions. In the book of Proverbs, for instance, it says that, "Receive my instructions and not silver, knowledge rather than choice gold." That is Proverbs 8:10. In Proverbs 8:33, it says that, "Hear instructions and be wise, and refuse it not." Job 22 verse 22, say that, "Receive please instructions from his mouth." When you read Proverbs 10:17, it say that, "He who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray." In Psalm 94 verse 12, he say that, "Blessed is the man whom you instruct." So it means that there is a blessing that comes to you when you obey instructions. Instructions are filled with blessing. They are pathways to blessing. They are pathways to change your life, to change levels. When you heed, you see, for instance, God had a blessing for Abraham. Abraham had only one child. God wanted to give him many children. So in that instruction was blessing to be a father of many nations. So when Abraham heeded to the instruction, God said that, "Now I know you fear me." Then God said, "Now in blessing, I will bless you. And in multiplying, I will multiply. And I'll make your descendants like the sand on the seashore." In that instruction was a blessing. In that instruction is a blessing. Sometimes you might not know what is in it, but just obey and your life will be turned around. I see your life being turned around. I said, I see your life being turned around in the mighty name of Jesus. So when it comes to instructions, I want you to understand that instructions are pathway to wisdom. Instructions are pathway to your growth. Instructions are pathways to your advancement. Instructions are even pathways to discovery. Through instructions, sometimes you discover yourself. Sometimes you want to do something in church. Your pastor says, "No, do this." And by doing that, you begin to discover yourself. You begin to discover many things about yourself you didn't know you could do it. Why? Because you heeded to an instruction. Sometimes you think that, "Oh, I can sing," but your pastor can sense that you can better do this thing because there's something in you. By the time you heed to that instruction, you see that something great begins to come out of your life. So it brings you to a point of discovery. One may ask, what are instructions? What are instructions? What are instructions? So in this teaching, what I'm trying to do is that I'll help you to understand what instructions are. I'll help you to see the sources of instructions. Then also, I'll walk you through some common attitude that people have towards instructions from their pastor. Then I will also walk you through why you should uphold the instructions coming from your pastor. Then I will end it with how to obey the instructions of your pastor. How do you do it? Yeah. It's loaded, but I'll try and finish. Amen. It's a workers' meeting. Amen. So we need to pour our heart out to you so that you are blessed. Amen. So what are instructions? Instruction simply is a direction calling for compliance for the accomplishment of a goal or a purpose. So it means that in every instruction, there's a purpose. In every instruction, there's a goal. So instruction is a direction calling for compliance. So it means that when an instruction is given, it must be obeyed. Yeah, when an instruction is given, it must be obeyed. So instruction is a direction calling for compliance for the accomplishment of a goal or a purpose. So for instance, when your pastor gives you an instruction, it means that there is a goal in mind. It means that there's a purpose in mind. And sometimes you might not be privy to the goal, or you might not be privy to the purpose of that instruction, but yours is to obey. Tell somebody, yours is to obey. Yeah, yours is to obey. Yours is not to debate it. No, yours is not to rationalize it. Yours is not to think, read meanings into it, and so on and so forth. Yours is to obey. Because your pastor has the right to tell you why he's instructing you to do that. He also has the right not to tell you. And you can't force it from him. Now, let's look at some sources of instructions. How instructions come to us. Some sources of instruction. Number one, are authority figures in your life. And for example, your pastor is one of God's ordained authorities in your life. Yeah, authority figures in our life. So in the church context, your pastor is God's ordained authority figure in your life that you must obey. So don't have a problem when your pastor instructs you. For instance, in Proverbs chapter 1 verse 8, say that, "My son, hear the instructions of thy father." So it means that if you claim to be a true son of ICGC Caris Temple and you are a son or a daughter to Pastor Prince, it means that you must hear his instructions and you must obey his instructions. In Proverbs 4:1, it said, "I hear ye children the instructions of a father and attend to understanding." So the first source of instruction are authority figures in your life, and here is in context to your pastor, the one who is the leader over this church and the one who is shepherding us and taking us to the place that God has ordained for us. The second source of instruction is the Word of God. The Word of God also instructs us. The Word of God is a book of instruction. Let's look at Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 from the New Living Translation. Look at what the Bible says. It says that study the book of instruction continually. That is what it says. It says that study the book of instruction continually. So the Bible is a book of instruction. The Word of God is a manual for instruction. So the Word of God instructs us. The Bible says that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. The third source of instruction is through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the Holy Spirit can instruct you. For instance, in the book of Acts 13, verse 2 to 3, the Bible said that as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So the Holy Spirit instructed them that separate these people unto me to the work that I have instructed them. Then also the fourth source of instruction are the events of life. The things that we face in life also instruct us. So by observing and paying attention to the events or the happenings in life, we receive instruction. And that can be seen in Proverbs 24, verse 30 to 32. He said that, "I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding." Verse 31, he said that, "And lo, it was overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered. It was all grown over with thorns, and nestles had covered the surface thereof." Now, please use my default setting is New King James, so sometimes I'm tempted to run away to that. Say that cover the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Let's go to verse 32. Say that, "Then I saw, and I considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction." Yeah. So instruction came by just observation, by looking at it and instruct. Sometimes you look at the face of your pastor. You just look at his face and instruction is given. He has not opened his mouth, but the look at his face, you just see that he's not happy about what you are doing. So there you have received instruction to change your attitude, to stop doing what you are doing. Why? Because he has communicated to you by your observation. So he said that, "When I saw and I considered it well, I looked upon it and I received instruction." So the things that happen around us helps us to receive instructions. Now, how does your pastor instruct you? How does the instruction of your pastor come to you? Number one, it comes through his teachings. When your pastor is teaching, he teaches, and through his teachings, he gives instructions. So you are instructed through his teachings. That is why you cannot allow anything to distract you when your pastor is teaching. Because out of his teachings come many instructions. Many instructions for the work that we are doing. Many instructions even for your life.
the areas of your life, your family life, your business, your relationships. You receive instructions through his teachings. So his teachings are filled with a lot of instructions. Again, another way the instructions of our pastor comes to us is through his counsel. Sometimes when he meets you and he's having interaction with you, sometimes you visit him in the office, or sometimes he's interacting with you, you present an issue to him and he's talking to you about, through that he gives you instructions. And that is a way his instructions come to you. Sometimes he might even come, the instruction might even come like a suggestion to you. But if you are discerning enough, you know that this is what he wants to do. Because sometimes we are afraid as pastors that to tell our church members direct. You know that if I need to, this thing, I need to tell you that it is this. But sometimes when you tell them, we are afraid that by the time you tell them, they will come back. If it doesn't work, they will come back and blame you. And blame you. So sometimes we just have to, but we know what you are telling is the truth. This week I was talking to a lady. The lady doesn't know that I have a lot of information. So when she called me, she coded everything. She put everything in a code and I was just smiling. Because everything she's saying, I have the back end information. So while she's coding, I'm decoding. Yeah, while she's coding, I'm decoding. So I'm breaking it down. I'm just listening. So she was talking and I'll try to give her general advice and ask questions and so on and so forth. But I felt like, so at a point, you know, sometimes we are not patient. At a point, I nearly busted out to tell her, hey, stop that foolishness and and understand that what you are telling me, I know it. So better go straight to the point and let's resolve this matter. And what this girl was telling me, the truth of the matter, she just needed to know that what you are doing is a foolish decision you are taking. Stop it. Yeah. But I realized that I sent one of our pastors to talk to her. And in talking to me, because I didn't know that I sent the pastor to talk to her. And in talking to me, I realized that she was even blaming the pastor. That the pastor came with a direct answer. Stop it. Don't do it. And she was not comfortable. Oh, pastor, you should have just suggested it. I felt that this man should have just suggested to me and I'll take and I'll own my own decision. And I said, sometimes when we allow you to own your decision, you'll be destroyed. You'll be destroyed. So we have to save you early before you go to your grave. We must save you early. We must snatch you out before you are destroyed. So sometimes the counsel of your pastor comes with instructions. When you obey it, it will be good for you. Again, the instructions of your pastor can come to you by direct commands. Sometimes your pastor can command you directly. And I know your pastor is good at that. My pastor don't zero BBR. Yeah, Pastor Prince doesn't fear anything. I'm a diplomatic one. I try to be a bit diplomatic. As for your pastor, I know he's not. Yeah, if you like, go. If you like, stay. Yeah, he will just tell you his peace of mind. Yeah. Yeah, those of you who have been around him for a long time, you know he will just tell you his peace of mind. Yeah, that is him. Do you get what I'm saying? So direct command, because sometimes when you are not given a direct command, it will end up destroying you. You have to be saved early. Then also, sometimes his instructions come to you by his lifestyle. His lifestyle. Sometimes you have to watch your pastor. Watch how he lives his life. Watch how he treats people. Watch how he cares for people. Watch how he loves people. Watch how he handles situations. It should instruct you in the same way. So his lifestyle. As pastors, we are supposed to live a high standard of life so that we can be an example to you. And being an example means you are instructed. So his lifestyle should be an instruction to you. Look at how your pastor is dedicated and passionate about this way. It should instruct you that you too, you can't do less. You must also be passionate about it. If your pastor is coming to church early, you should not be coming to church late. It means that you are not learning. You are not learning from your pastor. You are not being instructed right. If you see that he comes early, you must also make the effort. Because sometimes, when I think about it, sometimes I don't understand. When you are going to work, look at the time you wake up. And you are in a hurry. I have to hit the office at this time and so on and so forth. But sometimes when it comes to the work of God, we find all manner of excuse. all manner of excuse why it cannot be done at this time, why we can't do it this way. Because sometimes we don't understand the God we are dealing with and the magnitude of the work that has been placed in our hands. So you find all manner of excuses, why it cannot be this, why it cannot be that, and so on and so on. But the lifestyle of your pastor should instruct you. You cannot follow this man and dress anyhow. Do you get it? Yeah, you cannot follow this man and not have eye for excellence. Your pastor is an excellent pastor. Yeah, he has eye for details. Today when I entered his office, if I have to sleep there, I would have slept there. Very beautiful office. And it's not today he's been excellent. He's been excellent since. I've known your pastor for over 20 years now. The first time we met was 2003. I was in second year. He was in first year. Yeah, I met him. That's the first time we met in 2003. And since then, our relationship has been better, growing stronger and stronger. 20 years. 20 years. Yeah. Yeah. That is the span of our relationship. Yeah. It's your pastor who convinced me to marry my wife, the one I'm married to. It's your pastor who put sense in my head. Yeah. Who put sense in my head? I was looking in a different direction. He put sense in my head. Yeah, no, you cannot be going this direction. No. And it has helped me. I tell my members, my people are here, I tell them, I thank God for the woman I married. Because if not today, I'll not be effective in ministry. No. You see, you need a certain kind of woman to stand with you in this work. Yeah, otherwise, you'll be discouraged. You break down. Have to a lot of sacrifices. No sacrifices. I remember when I finished my doctorate and we were just trying to put things together, and I had an urge to come into full-time ministry. And I told her, she was so disappointed, but she had to stand with me. Yeah, because she was at the verge of seeing that for now, at least my husband too is going to make some good money and will live a good life. Yeah, because where we started from was not good. We see sometimes when we married in our house, in my hall there was no chair. Yeah, I had only few things in the house. I had a TV set, I had a gas cooker, and a bed, a mattress. Yeah, the mattress car was not on the wooden something. It was just on the bare floor. When you come to my hall, it was the TV I bought, the box, the paper. I've just removed it and I've placed it in the hall. You have come to visit me. You should like what I have. If you don't like it, then go. Don't come and visit me. That's my philosophy. Nothing. So by the time now you have school. And you see, Pastor Brice will tell you, I didn't work. When I finished school, I didn't work. After first degree, I did my TA. I was a TA on campus. After TA, straight to master's. And after master's, even before I was finishing the master's, my PhD was waiting for me. So right after master's, I transitioned into PhD. So look at my life. I've been schooling until I finish. Now there's time for enjoyment. And you say you are coming into full-time ministry. Which woman will laugh with you? Yeah, but you need a woman with a certain kind of heart to stand with you and to let you know, I believe in you. It will be difficult, but I believe in you. Yeah, very important. Yeah. So the life of your pastor is a way of instruction. The way your pastor goes about things must instruct you. Must instruct you. Sometimes church workers, the way your pastor treats his wife must instruct you how to treat your wife. You cannot serve under his ministry and when you go home, you are beating your wife whilst he has not beaten his wife before. No, do you get what I'm saying? No. His life, everything about. And you see, as pastors, one thing I tell my church members, especially workers, is that I cherish even workers' meeting more than the Sunday service we come and we are there. No. Yeah, because it gives you an opportunity to pour your heart out to the people and let them know the realities of life and the realities of the work that you are doing. So your life, his life must instruct you. So sometimes he will not say anything, but just look at his life. His life will instruct you how to do it, how to go about things. And your pastor is not a lazy pastor. He's a diligent man. Do you understand? And therefore, you cannot serve under him and be lazy and be slothful. That they call him to your workplace and say that your this member of yours is lazy. It's a disgrace to his ministry. And it's a disappointment to his ministry. And every pastor doesn't want to feel that. So his life must instruct you. So these are the ways he instructs us through his teachings, through his counsel, through direct commands, and his lifestyle. I hope somebody is being blessed this morning. Now, let's look at some common attitudes that people have towards the instructions of their pastor. We are just going through, we are diagnosing ourselves and we are healing ourselves. Yeah. Number one, the first common attitude, and some of you, as I mentioned, you see that it's common with you. You are in it. Number one is they make light of his instructions. They make light of his instructions. His instructions are not valuable to them. They make light of it. After all, I came to this church all by myself and I can live all by myself. So what is it? So they make light of it. Look at Matthew 22 verse 5. Say that, but they made light of it. An instruction was given that come for a meeting. And the Bible says that they made light of it and everybody went to his own farm, another to his business. Another to his business. Now, the reason why sometimes people make light of the instructions that have been given to them is that, number one, they are full of their own ways. When you are full of your own ways, you are not ready to let in somebody. So when you are full of your own ways, you make light of instructions that have been given unto you. So sometimes you are not ready to change. So you make light of the instruction. Sometimes the second reason why people don't make light of instructions given them is that they don't understand the consequences of disobeying an instructions. When they disobey, the consequence they will face, they are ignorant of the consequence. Some people are also ignorant of the benefits of the instructions, because any instruction that is given to you, it presents you with an opportunity to be blessed. When you are ignorant of it, you make light of the instruction. Then also, some people make light of instructions because they are ignorant of the reason for the instructions. They are ignorant about the reason for the instruction. Then also, sometimes people make light of the instructions their pastors give them because they lack understanding about the vision of the church. They lack understanding about the vision. Because when you understand the vision, you commit yourself to instructions that will make the vision work. The second common attitude I want to present to you is that people think that they are above instructions. Yeah, they are above, especially those who are in the church for a very long time. We have a tendency to think that we are above this instruction. So when you come to a place, you think that you are above an instruction. It's a bad attitude. You cannot follow through with instructions. So don't think that you are above. Sometimes we become familiar with the instructions. Sometimes it's because of pride. We think that we are above it and so on and so forth. The third common attitude people have towards instructions from their pastor is that they make excuses why it cannot be done. We make excuses why it cannot be done. Why it cannot be done. We make excuses for it. And you see, excuses will keep you from obeying instructions. Then number four, another common attitude is that they rationalize the instructions and attach too much emotions to it. You see, when you are given instructions and you attach your emotions to it, it's likely you will not obey the instructions. Because the instructions will strike your emotions. Yeah, yeah. One thing you have to learn to do as a church worker is that don't attach emotions to the work that you are doing. Otherwise, you'll not do well. Yeah, put away emotions. Because otherwise, you'll be easily offended. You'll be easily hurt. He didn't talk to me well, and so on and so on. But you must learn to put all these things aside because you are dealing with human beings and they are not perfect. Yeah. So when you rationalize and attach too much emotions to what has been instructed, there is no way you obey it. Look at Naaman and Elijah. He was told that go and wash yourself in the pool. He started attaching emotion. He said, are not the rivers in Damascus in this? He started mentioning good rivers that he can wash into. Why am I going to wash in this dirty pool? He was attaching emotion. Even it started not even with where he was going to do. He said that I thought in my heart that he will come out from his house and wave his hand over me and I'll be healed of. So it means that he was coming to the man of God, but he was coming with his own prescription. Yeah. Sometimes you come to your pastor for an advice, but you have already planned. You just, either you are looking for endorsement or you just want him to know. But you have planned your, some of you even do it before you come and tell your pastor. Yeah, you do it. You do what you are, want to do. You do it before you come and tell your pastor. Marriages. Yeah. We do all the planning. We leave our pastors aside. Then later I'll come and inform them. When they come, they portray as if they are looking for your advice. But inwardly, they have come to inform you. They have just come to give you information. Sometimes ni ya brea huni ya kasa ya kasa. So unim ni awoka, unim ni awoka, unim ni awoka. All the things you are telling him is not is going somewhere. They don't care. So it's a poor attitude. When you are giving an instruction, don't rationalize it. Don't read meaning. Don't attach emotions to it. No. For instance, you are suffering from malaria. We give you artesunate amodiaquine. It's bitter. Yeah. If you attach emotions to the drug, you not take it and you die in your sickness. Do you get what I'm saying? You don't attach emotions to it. Anything that will save your life, don't attach emotions to it. Anything that will save your life, don't attach. A mother is in the labor ward and is due to deliver. And he said, my bro, No, they don't attach emotions to. No. Their goal is we have to give birth. It doesn't matter what I'm feeling in my body. I have to give birth. That is the goal. So no emotions attached. When they finish, then they can say, oh, my bread, and all of it. But in the process, I can't stop and die. I need to survive. Another poor attitude people have towards instructions from their pastor is that they are slow with them. Slow. Sometimes your pastor will give you an instruction, and he needs the thing to be done quickly, but we are very slow with it. We do it in our own time, the time we want. When it's convenient for us, that is when we do it. But you see, this morning, he was telling us that ministry is time. Say ministry is time. Yeah, ministry is time. Everything is time bound. Everything is time bound. So it's very important. Then another bad attitude that people have towards instructions from their pastor is that they read meanings into it. What is pastor thinking? Why is pastor saying it this way as well? So they begin to read meanings into it. Some to mama and complain. That is another poor attitude. They mama and complain. Why is he telling us to do this? Some of you, I believe that when pastor told us that we are coming for this workers retreat on this holiday, you were complaining and murmuring in your head. You didn't let him know, but you were complaining. At least this holiday we should have enjoyed it. We have a family. If you don't care for your family, me, I care for my family. Yeah, they'll be saying all manner of things. They'll complain and they'll mama. Yeah. Another bad attitude people have towards instructions, they forget them. How many of you have forgotten an instruction before? Yeah, they forget them. We forget it. Yeah, and I'll show you why you must not forget. Then some people also disobey instructions. Now, why should you uphold the instructions and the orders of your pastor? Number one, they make you wise. Yeah, they make you wise. Through instructions, we learn and we increase in wisdom. Number two, through instructions, you are trained, you are matured and prepared for greater responsibilities. Yeah, because of time, I'll just rush through this one. But understand that through instructions, you are trained. It's only through the instructions that you'll be trained. You'll be mature. The Bible says the heir, as long as she's a child, does not differ from a servant, but it's under governors and tutors, being trained of them until the time set by the father. Then now they give him responsibility. You can drive. You can be on your own. You can do this. You can do that. But they train that air through instructions. So through instructions, you are trained, you are matured, and you are prepared for greater responsibilities. Number three, instructions keep you from distraction, and they keep you from going astray. The Bible says in Proverbs 5:23, he shall die without instruction. So you are destroyed without instruction. He said that the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. So when you don't follow instructions, you are destroyed or you go astray. Then number four, instruction leads to speed of accomplishment. Yeah. Instructions, when you obey instructions, it gives you speed in the work that you are doing. Now, when Jethro came to Moses and saw what Moses was doing, he saw that Moses, what he was doing was a long process. He said, listen to my advice and God will be with you. And when he did it, it gave him speed of accomplishment. He said, I divide the people into companies. Let them handle the small matters, and the heavier matters, they should bring it to you. So it helped to reduce the number of waiting time. Because they were waiting in the whole day. It's maybe even in the whole day, it's only two people Moses have spoken to. Because somebody can come and with a lot of problems. And even our churches, sometimes somebody can enter the pastor's office and they don't want to leave. Yeah, they want to share all their problems without thinking that there are also other people in the queue. So me, sometimes I tell people, if your matter is long on Sunday, come weekday. Yeah, so that at least we can deal with some quiet number of people. Yeah, so that you alone is 3 hours in the pastor's office. And the rest, no. So it leads to speed of accomplishment. It gives you speed. It brings progress and productivity in whatever we do. Number five, it guides you in life and ministry. When you uphold or you obey the instructions of your pastor, it guides you. It's a guide to you. Then number six is a demonstration of love, honor, and loyalty to your pastor. Yeah, when you obey the instruction your pastor gives you, it's a demonstration of your love. Jesus said that if you love me, obey my commandment. Yeah, so your obedience to his instructions demonstrate your love for him. It's not what you say, Pastor, we love you, we love you. The things he's telling you to do, are you doing it? That shows really that you love him. You love him. So it demonstrates your love and your honor. You see, as for us pastors, we feel honored when our members obey us. We tell you to do something and you do it, we are happy. We feel honored. So it's a demonstration of love. It's a demonstration of honor. Then, number seven, it brings you into great favor and honor in life and ministry. Then, number eight, it builds up the church. You see, when you obey instructions, all of us here, if every one of you will obey an instruction that our pastor has given us, our church will be built up. Our church will be more stronger. Our church will be more effective and impactful. So the choir, we are obeying instructions. The pastor says, these are the songs I like. These are the songs I don't like. This is how I want you to sing the song. When you obey, it brings life to the church. These are protocol people. This is how I want things to be done. When we do it, you see that the church becomes stronger and the church becomes impactful. So it helps build the church and it helps strengthen the church and even create unity. Because if all of us are obeying, we become one and it helps to build up the church. Then number nine, it deepens and strengthens your relationship with your pastor. When you obey the instructions of your pastor, it helps to deepen your relationship with him. Every pastor loves a member who listens to him. Yeah. As a pastor, I will make time for a member who listens to me than a member who doesn't listen to me. I won't waste my time on a member who I'm sure that whatever I tell you to do, you will do it. Yeah, I tell you to do. I have one philosophy. I said, I'm an assistant pastor. I don't have a ministry of my own, and I will not have a ministry of my own. Yeah. But you see, I tell people that in my life, since I started serving my father in the Lord, is Reverend Osei Afuakwa. You know him. He's been here a couple of times. He's my spiritual father. He's the one I serve under. In my life, since I got into contact with him, I started serving him, there is no major decision in my life that I've not consulted him for his counsel. And whatever he says to me is final. That is me. Whatever he tells me is final. Because I believe in him. I believe in the wisdom of God upon him. I believe in the calling of God upon him. And I can boldly tell you that all these years that he has instructed me, I've never been disappointed in any way. The instructions I've followed, it has never failed in my life. That is why when you also follow the instructions of your pastor, Nothing will fail in your life. It's as if nothing is working, but it's just a matter of time. So upholding the instructions of your pastor helps to deepen and strengthen your relationship with him. And you need to have a good relationship with your pastor. Seek to be close to your pastor.
was your pastor?
Also, this week, a matter came to my table, and I called a member to my office, and we're chatting. I said, what are the issues? She said, she wants to stay out of church for some time. So I called her, and I said, why do you want to stay out of church? Then she started listing the reasons. Said, somebody has gone to say this, that. And one of the things that the person went to say was that she's too close to her pastor. Then I asked her a question. So if they have a problem with you being close to your pastor, who do they want you to be close with? Yeah, in a church, the person you must seek to be close to is the pastor, not any other person. It's your pastor. It's your father. A genuine son and a genuine daughter will not be running away from the father unless there's something questionable about your life. And your father is a good father. His arms are wide open. Even when you go and misbehave, when you come, he can chastise you, he can rebuke you, but he will not throw you away because you are still a son and a daughter. Please, you get what I'm saying? No, it's important. One time, a member in our church was fornicating. She came to confess her sins. Then I spoke to her, I counseled her, and I prayed for her. And I told her, don't go and fornicate again. I gave her clear instructions. Don't go and do it again. The next time the person came to sit in front of me, she has gone to do it multiple times. She has gone to do it multiple times. And me, when you come to me, I ask a lot of questions because it's true that as I'm asking the question, I'm looking at your body language, I'm looking at your answers, and I'm picking a lot of things. Yeah, so I hate it. He said, Pastor, I'm sorry. This. I was so disappointed, but I can't throw her away. I had to advise her, and I warned her again, don't go and do it. I don't know whether she has gone to do it again. I don't know. So when you uphold the instructions of your pastor, it deepens your relationship with him. And you need that relationship. Please, you get what I'm saying? Number 10, it brings you into excellence. Excellence is a product of instructions. Yeah. When you listen to the instructions of your pastor, it brings you into excellence. Number 11, it leads to blessings and promotion in life and ministry. Then, number 12, it is your pastor's instructions are a way to test and prove you. Yeah, it's a way to test you. Sometimes your pastor will give an instruction, it's just to test you. When God told Abraham that go and sacrifice your son, your only son whom you love, it was just a test. The Bible says it in Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 to 2. But now it came to pass after this thing that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, he said, here I am. And he said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, and take him to the mountain that I will show you. The Bible says it was a test. It was a test. Yeah, but Abraham didn't know. He didn't know. But that instruction God gave him was a test. And it was a test to usher him into his breakthrough. Some of you, your breakthrough will not come through prayer. Do you understand? It's hidden to just a simple instruction from your pastor. It will open a door for you. One time a member came to me. This member likes money. Yeah, he likes money. So he came to me. He had gotten a job, was awful. And not long ago, he had another offer and wanted to leave. And for me, I don't like people who switch jobs every time. Because I tell people, if you have to leave a job, you must leave for reason of growth. Yeah, that if you're leaving for another job, that is a job that is challenging you for growth and to build your capacity, not necessarily money. Because sometimes you can go for a job that is giving you money, but it's not building your capacity. It is not stretching you. It is not growing. You are just in there, just taking money. But it must stretch you and must grow you. That is a job you chase after. And you also switch into it. It must challenge you to something higher. So he came and I told him, I don't want you to go. That's what I told. I don't want you. And when I saw his face has changed. But I said, I don't want you to go. But it's your decision. You can go or you cannot go. Me, I don't care. Then, recently I was with him and we're going. And he told me that, Pastor, you remember the job I told you about? He told me I shouldn't go. Yes, I said, I remember. And many a time, I tell people things. I don't remember I told them. Then, he told me that that job you told me I shouldn't go. Now, that company has gone bankrupt. So, it means that if I went there today, I'll be jobless. I said, yes. I would have been jobless. Yeah. I don't have I don't have economic background. I don't have the. And you see, as pastors, we don't have to have all backgrounds to tell you what you must do. We operate by the Spirit, and the Spirit knows all things and searches all things. That is why your pastor is not. He's a biomedical scientist. He's in the lab. He's working. But he's talking to you. Some of you are in business. He's helping your businesses to grow. Some of you are in this. He's helping. Why? Because he operates by the Spirit, and the Spirit knows all things. There's no limit to the Spirit. And he's a man of the Spirit, so he can instruct you in every area. When you work with it, it will work for you, even if he doesn't have a background. He should not have a background to be able to instruct you. He's instructing you by the Spirit, and that is the most important. As always, my time up, or I should finish it up. Okay, thank you. It's only my brother who can give it to me. So now, let's look at how to uphold the instructions of your pastor. I build it up from here because you must understand it so that when we get to this point, you can give yourself to it. Now, how do you uphold the instructions of your pastor? Number one, have value for his authority in your life. It starts with your value for his authority. Because when you don't have value for his authority, his words will not mean nothing to you. So have value for his authority. Know that your pastor is the man that God has put over you. Have value for his authority. Because anything you don't have value for, you don't give attention to it. Please, you get it. So have value for his authority. The Bible says that let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. So respect the office of your pastor, his place in your life. When you have value for his authority, you have value for his instructions. So that is the first way. Number two, don't underestimate the value and the benefit heeding to his instructions will bring to you. I told you earlier on that instructions come with blessing. Anytime you obey instructions, you are rewarded. In Psalm 19 verse 11, it said that moreover by them, your servant is warned, and in keeping them, there is great reward. So great reward comes to you when you heed instructions. Number three, be faithful with these instructions and do it with the best of your ability. Be faithful with the instructions your pastor has given you. Be faithful with it. Work with it faithfully. Work with it faithfully. Work with it faithfully. And give it the best of your ability. Now, you see, when you are given an instruction, do it as if that there is nobody else who can do it better than you. Do it with all the best of it. Sometimes we give work to people and we regret we gave them the work. Yeah, because with the kind of attitude they demonstrate towards the work makes it even very difficult. Sometimes, for me as a pastor, one of the things in my church, you cannot do, you can't bluff me. Yeah, you can't bluff me in my church. Because I tell my members, when our church started, Embassy of Life Support started, I was one of the first members of the church. And I've done everything in the church before, except playing drums. The only thing I've not done before is instrument. But at least even drums, I can play for you to do worship. I can't play drums for praises. But apart from that, I've done everything in the church before. I've been a technical head before. I've been a choir director before. Those times, when I was a choir director, me, I don't know alto, tenor, bass, treble. I don't know all this. I'm a choir director. We must sing it the way it must be sung. Do you get it? That is it. Because at that point, the church needs me. At the point, the expertise, those with the technical expertise came. Let's welcome Reverend John. Let's put our hands together and let's welcome Reverend John. Yeah. I didn't have the expertise. Do you get it? I don't have the expertise. I can't teach parts in the choir. If I don't know. Me, myself, the parts, choir, me, I'm struggling. When you teach me, this one I forget. Do you understand? But I'm the leader in charge. We are singing it the way it has to be sung. Because that is the phase we are in. So be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful with it. Be faithful with it. You see, your pastor believes in you. That is why he commanded you to do what you are doing. So be faithful with what has been given and do it to the best of your ability. Then number four, receive his instructions with joy and do it with joy. Do it with joy. Be happy. Be happy that your pastor has instructed you. Be happy about it. Because it's the joy that produces strength. Anything you are happy about, the strength that is released for it. If you are sad about it, you see that you'll be discouraged. You cannot do it so well. So receive his instructions with joy. And do it with joy. Number five, receive his instructions with meekness and do it in meekness. Be humble when instructions are given to you. Don't feel that you know it all. No. Be humble. That's why I told you, some people, they feel that they are above the instruction. Nobody can outgrow instruction in life. Please, do you get what I'm saying? You cannot outgrow instruction. There are many things in life you cannot outgrow them. One of them is instructions. Yeah, you cannot outgrow them. Because even if you become a boss, there's a higher boss who will instruct you. So you cannot outgrow it. So that is why you must do it with humility. Humility. Let me tell you, anything that your pastor has told you to do, he has many people in mind who could do it. But for you, it's an opportunity. You must take hold of it. And I tell people, let nobody take your place. If you are given a responsibility in church, let it not be taken from you because you are not doing well. Let it be taken from you because there's a higher responsibility. That is the only time a responsibility should be taken from you. Not that you are not doing it well. No, not that you are not doing it well. Otherwise, it will not be good for you. Because some of you lose certain opportunities, you will never get it again. You will never get it again. Never. You never get it again. Never, 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 never. As God is increasing his church, instrumentalist, at a point in time, you'll be in a queue to play. And sometimes in a month, you have not played before because we are too many. You are not too many. So secure your place. We are at it both time. So we cannot, you are like Mount Zion, that cannot be moved, but abides forever. Why? Because the AAB are here. So you can't be moved. You can't be moved. Yeah. So do it with meekness. Tell somebody, do it with meekness. Yeah. Be humble. Humble yourself. Number six, don't become familiar with his instructions. You know, sometimes when you are around a man of God for a very long time, you become familiar. Now you know his ways, you know his weakness. You know, you have seen him angry before, you have seen him happy before. So sometimes you become familiar. No, never be familiar with the instructions of your pastor. One time I was telling somebody, and the person was shocked by what I said. I said, my father, Reverend Afuakwa, I've worked with him over 20 years now, many years. But I was telling the person, he's somebody I fear. Even up to today, I fear him. I fear him. I fear him. No matter how he wants to be close to me, I fear him. I fear him. And it's helping me. Yeah. So it's helping me not to be familiar with him because I fear him. I fear him. Sometimes he can come. Me, I have my way. Sometimes he can come. Oh, let's eat. Let's do this. I find ways to run away. I fear him. Yeah, not that he's kakayo. Do you understand? Not that. But I just have a certain reverence for him that I cannot come to a... No, I have to just day my level and just serve. So don't become familiar with his instructions. Number seven, don't rationalize or read meanings into the instructions. Because the truth of the matter is that the more you rationalize, the more difficult it becomes for you to do the instructions. Sometimes the instructions of your pastor will not make sense to your natural mind. The instructions of your pastor it will not make sense to your natural mind. But when you do it, it will do you a lot of good. Number eight, be prompt without delay. Be prompt with his instructions. Ministry is about time. Yeah, don't delay with his instructions. Because an instruction that is delayed will become relevant the next time. It will become irrelevant the next time. Yeah, so you don't understand why he said you should do it now. I know Pastor Prince. Pastor Prince can call you now and say that do it now. You see, you'll be put in a very discomfortable state, but you don't know why he said do it now. Do it now. And he shouldn't come and explain himself to you why you should do it now. Just do it now. Later, when the result comes, we'll tell you why you have to do it now. And all of you will be happy about the result. Do you get it? Yeah, without delay. Just do it without delay. That's why I said in ministry, timing is important. Number nine, take note of the instruction he gives you. One of the things you must learn to do, I've done it many years and it has helped me, is that I have either my phone is by me or something is by me that I write instructions. I write instructions. My father, Reverend Afuakwa, is a man of a lot of... Sometimes he can call you And by the time he finished the call, a lot of instructions. A lot of instructions. Sometimes, one thing I do is that I have a photographic memory. You can be talking to me. I can photograph all your words in my mind. And when you finish talking to me, I'll just take a book and download everything you have told me. And in this moment, I don't talk to anybody because when I'm distracted, I'll lose the picture. Do you get it? So I write down. This is my phone. This is my phone. I've written, every instruction is there. I've written it so that it can guide me to follow. I don't want to forget, because I told you some people forget instructions. And I don't want to forget. So I write it down. When you go into your pastor's presence, you must learn to write. Do you get what I'm saying? It's not, also in the church, is it a taboo for somebody to write when you are talking? No. If you are recording him, you have to ask his permission. Pastor, maybe for the sake of this, I want to record you. Then he gives you his permission. But apart from that, writing there, you don't need his permission to write. Just write it. It's for your own good. Write it down. Write it. Tell somebody, write it. Yeah, because you see, anything you value, you put it down. Anything you value, you note it down. When things you don't value, you don't write it, so you easily forget them. Number 10, keep to his instructions till he instructs otherwise. He has given one instruction. He has not changed it. Keep to it till he instructs otherwise. It's also another important way to uphold the instructions of your pastor. Keep to it till he instructs otherwise. He said, this is a way we are doing the thing. Keep doing it till he comes again and say that I've changed it. Do you get it? No, some of you copy churches. You copy churches. ICGC Charis Temple is different from ICGC Hosanna Temple, because there are two different pastors pastoring the church. One pastor says, me, I like tree song. This one says, I don't like tree song. This is the pattern of song I want. Don't go and say, oh, when they sing the tree song, my anointing comes, so I want to sing tree song. No. You are walking out of order. Keep to what he has told you. You might not like. And you see, let me tell you, there are many things your pastor will tell you. You don't like it, but you must do it. But as you do it, you begin to like it. I remember those times in our church, they said we should wear suits. I don't like. Me, I'm, Pastor Prince will tell you, I'm a very simple man. I want to dress in a very simple way and this thing. So when they started talking about suits, I had a problem. Suits. How can I wear suits? How can I dress this way? I had a problem. But what will I do? I'll just obey. But let me tell you now, I like wearing suits than the other dresses. Now, my life has changed. Do you understand? I like wearing it. Now, I'm okay. I'm comfortable in suit than any other thing. Why? Because of how the thing, the instruction has metamorphosed me and has made me somebody better. Number 11, carry out the instructions exactly how he wants it to be done and not how you feel about it. Yeah, do it exactly how he wants it to be done and not what you... Sometimes, that's why I said, separate your emotions from instruction, because sometimes you think that it has to be done this way, but he said, let it us do it this way. Yeah, so do it exactly the way he wants it to be done and not how you feel about it. Naaman said, I wish you could come and wave at me and my leprosy will be healed. Elisha said, go and bath 7 times in that pond. Yeah, that was the way to his deliverance. It was not the waving. It was not the waving. God told Moses, speak to the rock and water will come out. He said, I'll strike the rock. No, out of anger. No. Number 12, follow through his instructions to a logical conclusion. Yeah, don't do it halfway. Finish it. Until it is finished, don't stop it. Bring it to a logical conclusion. Number 13, avoid assumptions in obeying the instructions of your pastor. One of the things I've seen that prevents us from obeying instructions is assumption. I thought that in church work, we don't assume. When you don't understand anything, ask questions. Your pastor is not a caricature. He's a human being. When you don't understand something, go and ask him. Oh, pastor, you told me to do that. I don't understand. Please, can you explain further? Then you get the clarity and do it the way he wants it to be done. So in any area of misunderstanding, seek clarification. Then also in the execution of the instruction, when you face challenges, you must come to him. Do you get it? Yeah, maybe he said the work must be finished in 1 week. And it is taking 2 weeks. But he doesn't know why the work is taking 2 weeks. But maybe you have a legitimate concern why the work is taking 2 weeks. But if you have learned to communicate to him the challenges you are facing, would have been more relaxed. Please, do you get what I'm saying? So learn to give feedbacks of challenges you have faced in the instructions that he has given you so that you avoid any kind of instructions. Then number 14, my last point, and that is what sometimes also some church members fail to do. And I want to say that it's a point and we close. Share all good things that his instructions bring into your life with him. Tell somebody, share all good things. Yeah. When you come, he gives you business instruction and your business is booming. Bless him. Yeah, bless him. Don't watch him and say that, may the Lord be with you, your reward is in heaven. No. Share all good things with him. The instruction he gives you is making your life better. Sometimes when you come, you should share testimonies, how his instruction has blessed you. It encourages us as pastors. If you are encouraged, the things you share with us, whether it's your money, whether it's the testimonies, or whatever, when you share, we are happy. It encourages us and it moves us on. I pray that grace will come upon all of us seated here. May grace come upon you to be a doer of the instructions that Pastor gives. And may God's blessings be evident in every area of your life. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. The Lord bless you. Amen.
The message you just listened to is from ICGC Caris Temple. To connect with us, you can like our page on Facebook at ICGC Caris Temple or follow us on Instagram and Twitter at ICGC Caris. We would like to hear of how God is blessing you through this podcast. To support this podcast, please click on the profile button and click on support. Thank you and God richly bless you.